Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello, and welcome again to the Tiebreaker Radio Show. Don't you know, I figure we had a little bit of time, so I let the intro ride out a little bit more. Had a good week in sports. We back to the Tiebreaker Radio Show. We know you missed us. The fam is back. Got a couple of people missing, man. Looks like it's me and just my man Ryan today. Mr. 330-5975, your line is open.
Yeah, we know we're missing a couple of people, but we still go hold it down at 330 boys. Go hold it down for the
Hell
rest
yeah.
of the show.
Yeah, you know it. Glad you could make it, bro. Man, how was your week, fam?
Week was pretty good. Interesting week of sports. So, ready to go ahead and dive on in, Paul.
Word, honey, man. I see the Cavs wrapped it up tonight. You know what I'm saying? Pause, no pause. With the Hawks completing that four-game sweep. On the last – I think the last couple minutes of that game was kind of crazy, man. I think it was a couple of no-calls. It wasn't as bad as that Thunder-Spurs end of the game. But, you know, I think a couple of things could have been called. You know, I thought the refs missed a lot of calls in this game. And that's not me, you know what I'm saying, really going against the Cavs. I think it was really on both sides of the ball. But, to be honest – it wouldn't have did the Hawks no good. You know, the Cavs pretty much dominated the entire series. The Hawks did have a couple of good leads that they let go, but, you know, good win for you guys, you know, and this, you know, series is over, moving on to the Eastern Conference Finals. I think the first topic, though, that we wanted to, you know, really touch on was the playoffs as a whole and how they're pairing out. I had something I wanted to speak on. It's kind of like, you know how the NFL has bye weeks. I'm wondering if in certain cases maybe the NBA should start looking to do that, you know, because I could see maybe one or two teams, maybe one team each conference making it in. And I'm starting to think that maybe we should have, like they should have that top seed as having a bye week or a bye round or something like that. Do you think that that's something that makes sense or anything, even if it's, you know, I mean, seven games, but do you think that that would make sense at all?
Well, I think that it would make sense. Like, as far as that is concerned, that's a pretty good idea because, I mean, just over history, it's very, very rare. I think it's actually only been done once or twice where a number one has lost to an eight seed. So, I mean, the odds of it that even happening is kind of, you know, up in the air, and I don't think that a lot of times people even take the first round series because you pretty much are going to, you know, one is going to be eight, two is going to be seven, three usually be six, four and five is kind of just a toss up. So yeah, that would make a lot of sense if they were to do a bye week. I do feel like that would be something that they could go about doing. And another thing I wish they would bring back is I wish they would shorten up the series. Like, I wish it was the best, they brought the best of five back. At least up until, you know, this round, because it just feels like these series are just dragging on and dragging on. Like the Cavs, like, you knew after two games the Cavs were going to sweep them. So it was just like, you know, I wish they would bring back the best of five.
Now, I was one that actually liked that they switched from the best of five to the best of seven, only because it's just, or if they're going to switch it to best of five, make it best of five every round, because you're kind of not giving that first round any respect. You know, I think the competition and the level in the NBA is high. It's probably, I mean, people would disagree, especially people that have seen a lot in the 90s, they would disagree. But I think it's just like when they look at the scores, they see it looks bad, like the four-game sweeps to the Hawks. Even though, like I said, these games have been competitive, but the Cavs just dominated. I would want to see even for all run of the playoffs. But that's an interesting point. Bringing back the five games would make having a bye round a little bit easier. Because here's something I didn't think of: that time off for that one seed. You know, would that make them cold with coach? Like, I know if like a Greg Popovich would be like, hell no, I don't want to do that. Because then my guys gonna be cold. They rolling at the end of the season, right?
Huh. Yeah, that's true. I mean, that's something that I definitely think that is very true. Like, with the best of five series, how I kind of look at it is, I would say, like, the first two rounds. After that, I think you go to the best of seven. That's just my opinion, just because, like I said, it doesn't, at least for the first round, I'll say that for sure, at least for the first round, because it just doesn't seem like there's ever any upset. So it's like, why prolong that first round,
just get
to it. But I understand where you're
not too many from the ones, not from the 1-8. I think the 4-5 matchups is real tight, real gay. Even them 3-6 ones. 3-6 and 4-5 is tough. Them is sometimes, a lot of times, the best series, I think, save for that one year when the Boston Celtics got together for the first year and they had that seven-game series with the Bulls. Oh, my God, that was one of my favorite series all time. They had, like, three games going to overtime, and one of them went to triple overtime. So, I mean, for that reason, that's why I would want it to have seven games. But then, you know, then again, like I'm saying, having that extra team, that might boost up the competition level. You know, instead of having that 8 seed playing the 1 seed, had that 8 seed playing the 9 seed, the consolation bracket. You know what I'm saying? Had them boost it out for whoever playing the 1 seed.
The only thing is with that, going to it, is you have to have a strong level of competition. Really, I'll speak for the East, then I'll go to the West. Like, even with the West, like the people who barely didn't make the, you know, almost made the playoffs, they weren't really going to do anything once they got in the playoffs. You know what I'm saying? So then even on the East side, like the people who just barely missed the playoffs too, they wouldn't really do anything. If it was a strong, consistent, like, you know, just top to bottom. See, like back in the Jordan days, like you had people top to bottom that were good. Like it's not the level of competition isn't the way that it used to be. And even like the number 8 and 7 seed most of the time don't even look like they deserve to even be playing in the playoffs. So to add in another team would kind of, I feel like it would basically null and void itself. Like it's basically going to be the same thing if you were to do that.
Right. Okay. That makes sense. All right. That was a little tidbit I wanted to throw in really quick while I was thinking about it when I was getting set up. You know what I'm saying? I know that was off the topics, but we got a lot of time since it's just me and you. I might even have another caller call in. But to that first topic here, basically what we was talking about, second-round playoff action, Portland Trailblazers finally got one, pulled one off in Golden State, against Golden State in Portland, without Steph Curry, no less. But they pulled it out. Damian Lillard had a monster game. C.J. McCollum chipped in. What do you think from Portland? Is this a sign of things to come? I think I saw them getting one game. You think that that's a sign that maybe that they can either take it or it's just, you know, they got one game and they without Curry?
Yeah, my opinion on that is they pretty much just got over and got one game. I had gave them one game, and then just because of what I saw what Lillard did to them in the regular season, and then I was giving them two games max because of Curry being out or whatever. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I don't think that they have enough to beat the Warriors, because if you look at it, I mean, they had to play their best A game just to win, you know, and the Warriors weren't at the best that they are at. So I just feel like once this next game, the Warriors, I don't even think this next game is going to be close. I look at the Warriors ready to go ahead and try to wrap up this series, especially the way that the Spurs are rolling. They don't want to get into a slugfest with them and then have to worry about the Spurs for the next round.
Yeah, speaking of Spurs, what's going on with them? Last time I checked, OKC was winning. Did they get that dub today? I think they did.
Yeah.
The Thunder got the dub, 111-97, yeah. So that's tied up 2-2. It looks like that might be going a little bit. What's your thoughts on the Spurs-Thunder after the Thunder got this win? It's like a, what is a 14-point win for them against the Spurs. On the road, nonetheless, but they held the Spurs under 100 points, man. You think that this is – you still taking the Spurs to win the series, or is this maybe just – this is just the Thunder just taking them games at home? They got one at home and one on the road, so it's technically a series.
Yeah, and I feel like, to me right now, all the pressure is on the Spurs. Like, everybody's expecting the Spurs to win. They're expecting to be Spurs versus Warriors. I still have the Spurs going to win, but the Spurs, which I know Coach Popovich, I have them locked in and focused, but this next game is very important, because if they lose this next game in San Antonio, then the next game, game six, would be in Oklahoma, and they don't really want that. So I think that, you know, the pressure is definitely on them. Like I said, I think he's going to have them focused. This right here, to me, will show a lot about Westbrook and Durant, to see how they can handle, you know, the big stage and everything. Like, every year just seems like it's a different excuse. Like, oh, this person was hurt, this person was hurt. But there are no excuses now. Just play ball and we'll go see what happens.
True. Oh, quick question off of that. Say this Thunder lose this series. Is Kevin Durant done in Oklahoma City?
I feel like Kevin Durant is I think that he's kind of going under the radar. He's not like how when LeBron was going to be a free agent and everybody was talking about it. But I really think there's going to be a lot of temptation. I want to wait to, you know, touch on that once the season is over and see how people position themselves to make, you know, runs at him. But I definitely don't think that it's basically like a clear cut he's going to come back. Like, I definitely think that there is a lot of temptation, a lot of good temptation for him to leave.
Word. Well, yeah, I say come on to the Lakers, man. We got a draft pick, some young talent, a new coach. Shoot, it's a different place. I'm hoping and I'm wishing, but anyway, so again, 2-2 with the Thunder. I personally think that the Thunder can pull it off in seven games on the road in San Antonio if necessary. I don't think they're going to do it in six. This next game, game five, is Greg Popovich's specialty. Game five is crucial. He's Billy Donovan. The real story, the real game within the game, is the coaching matchup. Billy Donovan is outmatched, and I've seen that every game. His timeouts are a little bit more frequent. It seems like Greg Popovich, I mean, it seems like he's playing like he's above his league. He's not even like he's out-coaching him, no doubt. But it's really just like you said, Durant and Westbrook, that's giving them these two games, that's even making it look like it's a series to where it's tied 2-2. You know, I personally think that the Thunder can win based on their players. But like when it comes down to coaching, I think they're gonna get out coached. If it comes down to like maybe last second shot or plays made by other players, the Spurs is gonna win it just because they're coached better. But the Thunder got a chance that they can win this game five, though.
That's true, and I really think that the Thunder really hurt themselves when they signed Billy Donovan. I feel like they, just along with other teams, get into this, I don't know what it is, it's this mentality that once they get rid of their coach that they just need to hurry up and hire a new coach. And that's not always the best thing to do, because what ends up happening is other coaches end up leaving from a different team, and then so they could have picked a lot of other proven coaches, but they
because it ain't like Billy Donovan
went for Billy Donovan.
What did Billy Donovan win that? Billy Donovan won the two at Florida. Wasn't he in college at Florida, right?
Yeah, and those were years ago. That's back when they had Horford and Noah. You know, so ever since then, I mean, he hasn't really done anything. Florida hasn't really been on the map. They haven't been, you know, one of the top teams to finish a national championship run since then. So it was just like they just rushed to make a decision, I feel, and they hurt themselves, because they could have really got some proven coaches. Like, they could have had Mark Jackson. They had plenty of different coaches than who they have now. And the playoffs is when it's going to hurt them. To me, I don't think that they'll ever be able to get over that hump until they get another coach. He's not ready.
True. It ain't like he was John Calipari. He was really boosting players out the program. That's true.
Right.
We're going to get more into – I want to get into to a couple of things here, more about the playoffs too. I just wanted to switch over to the other series, the Raptors and the Heat. Man, I must have been asleep or something, man, because I missed it. I didn't even realize. I'm like, the Raptors beat the Heat, and Valanciunas is out. He out indefinitely with that sprain. But so is Whiteside. Whiteside is out too. Hey, I got Meech is in here. Yeah, Meech, 1229. What's up, boy?
What's good, baby? You feel me? Black Superman at the job drinking, man, on my Ron Artest shit, man. I just called in to support the show, man, you know, for a little bit. Can't lie to you. I don't even care what y'all talking about, dog. I'm a little bit drunk, so I ain't going to be here too long. As you say, you know what I mean? Y'all, I hear y'all out here doing y'all thing, but I want to support y'all, man. You feel me? I've been drinking this OE, so, you know. And it's wild.
Well, if it ain't the fam's Ron Artest drinking Hennessy in the locker room, huh? Before the game.
Yeah, you know, I'm just trying to do my thing, my little 1-2. You feel me?
Hey, man. All right, since you with us for a second, man. What's your thoughts on? I already know what you about to tell me about your boy JR, because I told you to trade him before, but. What's your thoughts on the Cavs, you know, 25 three-pointers for the NBA record, man? You think that that's a testament to more so the players or a coaching change to Ron Lue, you know, getting them to play more within the offense and, you know, to shoot the three more with more confidence? What do you think that that's really a result of, or do you think it was just a one-time thing?
I think it's a test to gets Ron Lue a little bit of the credit, but I think it's more so the way they want to play. To the players, you know, they always shot. I always felt like they lean too much on their jump shot, so I want to give them credit for actually making them. So they already, I feel like they already intend on the jump shots, but I think that we got a lot of people that can drop, and they always, we got a lot of room shooters. So I think they'll make credit on, you know, sharpening up their craft and actually making them. So I want to give them a little bit of credit on that. But I think it's a great thing. I definitely think it's a great thing. I know that blowout hit those records. Definitely helps other people, you know, feel more strongly about it. Like I said at the beginning of the show, I mean, since the show started, you know, they about to take off to the finals. That's what it is. And then, you know, we need people. I'm scared of the Spurs. I think we could be going to state with the Spurs. We would need seven games.
You're more scared of the Spurs than the Golden State. Yeah, I think you told me that before already. What'd you think about that Channing Frye pickup? He looking more like the player that you need? Or what's up?
Yeah, I want to commend. I want to commend Tay. I think Ryan. I think even you might have said Will.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, you did. And I want to give you your props. I was against the trade at first. You know, I was a big Andy fan. I still am. I want him to, you know, get this ring. But I can honestly say, and the Fry has stepped up, man. Tay did. So You know, you got to – I give y'all your credit. Y'all seen what I did see. That don't happen rarely. That don't happen often, especially with you, because you don't know what the hell you're talking about. Other than that.
You a hater. You a hater. I'm a basketball aficionado. You a hater.
You just mad because I'm a Lakers fan. But, yeah, I saw – look, I don't like Channing Frye. I think he's a terrible big man, but I know what he did with the Suns at Phoenix. So you see a player for what they can do, and I'm thinking, like, the Cavs don't need him to come in and rebound the ball. They don't need him to come in and really play no, like, big defense. They don't really need him in there. If all they need him for is to stretch the floor and shoot the three, but that's what he's good at. He's going to do that well. He just needs the minutes. So that's the only thing I saw. I didn't see him actually contributing as heavy in the playoffs as he did, so that even surprised me.
Right.
Moving on, you know, the second round of playoffs is, you know, getting a little tight besides the Cavs sweep against Spurs, 2-2 Warriors, up 2-1 on the Blazers, no Steph Curry. Raptors over the Heat, 2-1 with a 95-91 win. What y'all think about this series? Is it much to do about nothing? I actually thought this was a good series, man. With the dude, the center Valanciunas out, and what's his name, Whiteside, day to day. How y'all see this playing out? We start with you, Meech.
Oh yeah, real quick. Yeah, definitely. I appreciate that. I just want to just real quick. I'm gonna have to go in a second. I just want to point out the fact that you didn't pronounce Valanciunas' name about four different times since I called in on the show. So I want to recommend that you go Google that man's name and see how to pronounce it. But other than that, no, I wanted to take this time, you know, to all my dudes. I mean, I know y'all got kids and everything. I'm going to tell y'all, make sure y'all tell y'all baby mine. I don't have money today and everything. And I'm going to have to look and all that kind of stuff. You know, you only get one mother, and I want to make sure, you know, y'all get treated and help me. Appreciation to your moms and everything on this day. And I want to say, I'm going to go with the Raptors on that series. I mean, I think the Heat without Chris Bosh, like I said to you, is done. Other than that, for real, it's going to be, it might be a better series, but the Raptors are done, man. I don't have no doubt in my mind that the Cavs going to breathe by them too. So, you know, I just laugh and will say, you know what I'm saying, y'all doing a good job, man. You know what I'm saying, hold it down for me, POP, hold it down, and you feel me? I'll let y'all next week, man.
P-O-P. All right. Peace out, Black Superman.
My man.
Way to exit the booth, man. Peace, man. We'll catch you later. All right, well, we're going to move on, man. I'm going to talk about these coach firings. What was your thoughts on this Raptors Heat series? You think the Heat really got this wrapped up? They got a chance? You think they're in trouble, or is Toronto? Is it still anybody's series? It's only 2-1 Toronto, and they going back to Miami.
Well, I mean, honestly, at this point, like beginning of the series, I had picked the Heat. I feel like it was gonna be the Cavs versus the Heat. But at this point in time right now, I mean, Whiteside isn't done for the playoffs. See, the Raptors center, he's done for the playoffs. I have to see. They say Whiteside is day-to-day. So I have to see how long he's going to be out in this next game. After this next game, I'll be able to determine, because I got to see how they play without him. I haven't seen them play without him. He's been, you know, healthy, so I don't know how their game is going to be. But this next game is going to show me what they're about, and then I'll be able to tell. But as of right now, I'll just stick with my pick and say I'm going with the Heat.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Heat, too. If Whiteside come back, they're able to do that. I think Valanciunas was a big – I think that was a big hit. That injury is going to hurt them for real. Next, I want to speak on these coach firings. I didn't even realize a few other people. I think we had missed. I don't know if we talked about it in the chat before, but the Phoenix Suns had an opening, but I didn't know I forgot that they signed Earl Watson. So Watson is the new coach of the Phoenix Suns. I haven't been paying attention. Terrible sports analyst. Coach firings. We still got Sacramento Kings looking for a coach. The Lakers been found Luke Walton as their coach. The Houston Rockets still looking. The Pacers fire Frank Vogel, which, I mean, the guy was almost Coach of the Year. I think he finished, what, third place or something in Coach of the Year voting or something like that? He was in the top, yeah. And then Dave Yoger from the Memphis Grizzlies got fired too, man. I'm not really a fan of playoff teams letting coaches go so soon. And and the last three that I said, Houston, Indiana, and Memphis, all are playoff teams, all have tough first-round matchups. I think Indiana probably was the only one, even though they were a low seed, were probably favored to win that matchup. Houston had to play Golden State. Memphis had to play the Spurs. So that was kind of, you know, out of there. I could see why the Kings and the Lakers were looking for coaches. But, you know, this is – I mean, we see it every year. Earlier this year, the Rockets fired – they fired their coach. What was his name? Celtic – what was his name? Kevin McHale. After, like, seven games.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't think that seven games is enough, especially – the two other games, the last time he was coaching, besides those seven games this season, he was two wins away from being in the NBA Finals. You know, that was a ridiculous firing. So my question really was do players get coaches fired, or is it do coaches get fired based on their record, based on their performance in the NBA?
Well, I mean, I think that with the coach firings, it's like kind of a mix between the two because, like, yeah, your players are going to have to perform, and then in different situations, I mean, there's different things. A lot of times with, like, say, for example, with the Rockets, they just weren't on the same page. Yeah, last year they might have made it to the conference finals, but they weren't listening to their coach. When the coach loses the respect from the players, it's nothing you can do. It doesn't matter if you're a playoff team or not. And I think that that's what a lot of these firings are coming from. I think it's like the players not really respecting the coach. Like when you have a coach that's been there for a while and y'all still can't get over the hump, it kind of makes, you know, players not really buy into their system or believe in them. And so, I mean, a lot of times I think that the organizations just need a new face. Like, I don't – that Pacers firing, it did kind of shock me somewhat, but then at the same time it didn't because, I mean, if you look at it, the Pacers, even back when LeBron was playing with the Heat, like, they've had the same coach, and they never can quite make it. Like, last year they kind of had an excuse because Paul George was out, but, I mean, they still – you know, they were healthy this year, and it's like they're still at the bottom of the barrel, so I think that they needed a new voice. But again, with these coaches, I think that they're just starting to – these teams, I think they're just starting to jump at the first coach that they see instead of letting things play out and getting the right coach. That's why I think there's so many firings because teams are just so eager and they just jump to try to sign someone instead of doing the research and picking the right fit for the team.
That's a really good view on thing. I didn't really think about that before you brought it up during that last segment, too. That is a really good point. My opinion is, and we got 90 seconds before the end of the live show here. Again, give us a call in whenever you feel free. Again, my personal opinion on why coaches really get fired is I think that it's, I personally do think it's the players. I think that players do get the coaches fired. Byron Scott is not a very bad coach. He's not a really bad coach. I can't say that he's been doing a wonderful job with the Los Angeles Lakers this year, but I don't think anybody could have did a wonderful job with the Los Angeles Lakers this year. D'Angelo Russell, as talented as he was, is a nincompoop. And for the stuff he's trying to do, and I can imagine what practice is like with this dude, and trying to get this dude to learn offense and play defense. Early on in the season, early on in his career, I remember watching his interview. The dude was like, yeah, they asked him, he said, so how much film study do you do? He said, I don't do that much. Yeah, I just go out there to play. And I'm like, well, you're on a team with Kobe. How can you even say that? What is wrong with you, boy? Do you know where you at? And I'm like, I don't know how Greg Popovich would have pulled out all his hair. So, I personally think that, you know, they play these players, you know, millions of dollars. he was guaranteed a lot of money being number one pick, number two pick rather. So I definitely think that the players have more value to the franchise than the coach. So, again, these are GMs and owners that are making these coach firings, not the players, not the franchise's fan base or anything. These are owners who actually have dollars and cents next to it. So they're looking at actual wins and losses if they're closer to the playoffs than anything. I think the reason why Kevin McHale got fired was because of the players, was because Dwight Howard and James Harden, they couldn't get him to play together the right way. James Harden wants to iso the ball more and wants Dwight Howard to play more defense and not worry about his touches. Dwight Howard wanted his touches and probably wanted – you know, James Harden to play a little defense, play a little bit of defense. So, I think it's hard to try to get players, you know, in the NBA. It's hard to coach them when you don't have the backing of your front office. When the front office has, you know, the power to fire you, you know, whenever they get ready and they can take the edge over the player. In this case, the Rockets, they've been favoring James Harden. James Harden is basically their Kobe, and they're not letting go of that. With the Pacers, I think they probably feel the same thing about Paul George. I don't think that Paul George and Frank Vogel had a disconnect, but they're looking to match their superstars that they have in the NBA with their coach. You have a Greg Popovich. You have a Steve Kerr who's won championships with the Spurs and the Bulls. So, I mean, I think, honestly, the players do get coaches fired, but that's a product of not a lot of coaches have a lot of clout. It's very much different from the high school and college. You know, in the NBA, these grown men, these are guys that come in every day, like if they're 9 to 5 and they're getting paid millions of dollars. You might be getting paid a couple million dollars. They'll let your couple million go before they let this $120 million over the next 5 years go. And it's harder to get rid of him.
Yeah. That's true.
So, I mean, that was my opinion on that. I don't think that any of these teams, I think besides the Los Angeles Lakers, is going to find a decent coach. And even with Luke Walton, I don't think the Lakers are going to go too far if they don't do as much in this offseason as well. It's good to have the young talent that they have, but they're not going to go too far. Ain't nowhere to go but up from 16 games, but you know, they're still not going to go too far if they don't get some veteran leadership in that locker room, get their attitudes together, and get them guys to play for a whole 48 minutes. So, kind of moving on to the next topic, man. I really wanted Meech to stay in, man, for this one because I wanted to segue his the 25-3-point record from the Cavs to this one because Charles Barkley said on TNT that he would have had, if he would have been playing, in so many words, they would have fouled that the Cavs should have fouled, or rather the Hawks should have fouled the Cavs to stop them from getting the record once they seen that they were going for it. Now, we have conversations all the time about fouls in the NBA, how they're not as, you know, hard as they used to be back then, and the technical fouls and the flavor fouls are much different. But do you agree with actually taking out a player if they're trying to do, like, I know you're a Cavs fan, but if you were the Cavs in the other position and the Hawks were up on you by like 17-20 and they were trying, Kyle Korver's trying to go for the 25-point record, would you foul if you turn around Lou? Would you foul players? Would you foul them hard to stop them from getting a record?
I mean, with that, I don't really think that – I ain't going to say I would foul them. I would just try to adjust my defense. If you look at it, what it was is that the Cavs were just getting open and good shots. Like, they were creating shots. So I don't think that anybody did anything over the top. And one of the key things that I think that people are not realizing about this whole three-point record is that the Cavs had their bench players out there and was still hitting threes. So if you can't control my bench players, don't get mad at me. That shows, you know, you're not handling business on your end as a defense. Like, I don't think that needs to be that needs to result in you trying to take out one of my players or anything like that. Like, it wasn't like an outrageous, like, trying to run up the score or anything. They were just playing the game the way that the coach designed it and the way that they've been playing the whole game. If you can't stop it, you can't stop it. I'm not a huge fan of that.
They was going for that record, though. They was going for that record,
well,
bro.
Well, yeah, which is fine. You can do that. But what I'm saying is you don't have to take a player out because they're trying to go for a record. Just stop them. Like, I never understood when people are like, oh, well, take somebody out. Why can't you just stop them? Like, it's not like they doing anything crazy. Just stop them from playing. I don't care if a team does run up the score, even if they were to play in my Cavs. Like, run up the score. If we're not good enough to stop you, that's on us. I'm not going to try to take out a player or anything just because I'm not going to do that.
I feel you on that one. I'm not going to disagree with that because, number one, I'm not a fan of injuring players, first of all. You know what I'm saying? When it comes down to it, I realize that the majority of the NBA is black. You know, a lot of these players don't come from, you know, families like Kobe come from, you know, where basketball is already in their family. A lot of the players like LeBron come from places like Akron. So, you know, you're talking about hurting LeBron James, you're talking about hurting a lot more than just the Cleveland Cavaliers, you know. So I don't agree with injuring players. I don't agree with attempting to try to hurt them in any way. I want to just say that before I say this. But if somebody is trying to embarrass you, I'm from the old school. When I came up watching basketball, they do not play that. These was, like I said, Charles Barkley got, I think it was Charles Oakley that said something. Charles Oakley was one of the toughest guys in the NBA. He's like, Barkley, you never was a tough guy. You know, I'm not for injuring players. And I dig that. I'm with them on that, and I'm even with you on that, not to injure them. And I'm saying, as a coach, I would tell my players, hey, they running up the score on y'all. They trying to get an NBA record on y'all. What y'all going to do about it? Is y'all going to play some defense? Y'all going to come to play the game?
Exactly.
But at the same time, if I see my players in there and they are playing hard, because this is the NBA, these are professional athletes. Athletes have off days and athletes have on days. You know, that night the Cavs was on, they weren't missing, and the Hawks was off, and you're gonna have that. And at the end of the day, these players got pride. So I'm not saying I would have hurt somebody, but if I would have been a player on that team, especially if I was a bench player and not get that much burn, and I would have got in there, the next person that would have tried a step back three would have got a hard foul. Not to hurt them, but a hard foul and a step over just to let them know, hey, stop shooting that shit. Hey, stop shooting that shit.
Well, yeah, and I don't
shoot
disagree with you on that. Yeah, I don't disagree with you on that. You can definitely do that. Like, I have no problem with you giving a hard foul, because I feel that same way about people when they just let Curry go down the hole. Pause. Like, you got to hit him in his chest. You got to. Like, I definitely believe in that. I'm just saying I'm not going to try to hurt somebody because I can't get the job done. That's my definitely follow him. Like, this you got to do. But I'm not a fan of you trying to hurt the person, but you go definitely send them a message.
No, I don't agree with everything Charles Barkley be saying, and I don't. But in this case, I don't think Charles was saying that he wanted the Pacers to hurt people, or rather, not the Pacers, the Hawks to hurt the Cavaliers, but to give them a hard foul. I've seen it all the time. You've seen it a million times. As a matter of fact, the Knicks Nuggets game a few years back when Nate Robinson was with the Knicks and Carmelo was with the Nuggets. Do you remember that? Matter of fact, J.R. Smith was on the Nuggets, and it was J.R. J.R. going for a layup. They was going, and Isaiah Thomas had just said a couple of minutes ago, they were up like 20 with 6 minutes left in the game, and Carmelo and J.R. Smith was in the game still. And Isaiah Thomas said down to the bench, he said, don't go to the paint. And the very next breakaway, J.R. Smith was going for a layup and got pulled down by I forget which Knicks player it was, but that caused a scuffle. And that comes to pride, you know, that Nuggets team was young. It didn't have Chauncey Billups on it yet, so it wasn't a lot of veteran leadership there. They were young, they were up, and that's what young players do. But like I said, these are grown men. Every player has an ego. this is their job. You know, I think it's a respect thing at the end of the day. And if you're getting the record within the Florida game, nobody can control that. And even if you're going for the record, that is fine. But styling out, stunting on somebody, stunting on you can't. You have to do it a certain way, and then you have to understand. I think in this case, I don't think that the Cavs were going like too out of pocket. They do get out of pocket with their celebrations. I would take offense to that somewhat, but still at the same time, I just think that the Hawks should have, instead of waiting for Jeff Teague to take one. Jeff Teague got a flagrant one for that push on LeBron in the second game, that last game. But they definitely should have fouled them to stop them from getting that record, in my opinion. That's what I would have done. I don't know. What was your – I mean, if – like I said, if you were the Hawks, you would have fouled them, right, to stop them from getting the record?
Yeah, I mean, I would have fouled them. I would have definitely, you know, like I said, somebody come into the hole, give them a little shot or a – nothing that's going to hurt someone, but, like, and then even what you said, like, a flagrant. Yeah, somebody should go out there and do a flagrant. See, you can do a flagrant. The way that the league is set up now, you can do a flagrant without you actually trying to hurt somebody. Back in the day, if you did a flagrant, you was trying to hurt somebody. Now, everything is a flagrant foul. So, I mean, somebody would have needed to do that. So, I definitely understand where you're coming from, and I agree that if I was the other team, I would be upset, but I'm more so of I'm going to try to do it on the court. Like, if I can't beat you, I can't beat you, but I would, you know, do the whole fouling thing. I just wouldn't be like, okay, let's go out here and somebody take this player out. Like, they need to be hurt. And the thing with the Cavs, and people want to talk about, oh, the Cavs and their celebration and stuff, is what I feel like is a whole other topic in itself, but a good topic to touch on, because I feel like it gets the same treatment that, like, how Cam Newton was. But see, like, to a point, people wanted to, like, praise Cam Newton, but then they wanted to start bashing him because he was celebrating. And what did Cam say? If you don't like it, don't let me score. Same thing with the Cavs. It's just a different sport, but people try to flip things. But to me, it's the same thing. So, like, people are going to complain, like, oh, the Cavs are showboating and stuff like this. And me living in Florida, like, I really hear it a lot, like, a lot more than I see people that's in Ohio, because it's probably, like, accepted more there. But, like, being here, like, I hear people all the time, oh, the Cavs are too cocky, like, blah, 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 blah. It's like, they just playing. That's them. That's their character. Like, LeBron brings that atmosphere of them so that they can, you know, try to become one, have like a brotherhood. So they have common, you know, things in common. They have their handshakes. They have little celebrations and things that they do. And I don't feel like there's anything wrong with it. And then, like I said, at the end of the day, if you got a problem with it, beat them. Because I'm sure if you beat them, they ain't going to be doing none of the celebrations.
Hard to let them tell it. But, yeah, I would say this. Okay, here's my question then. How much onus is on the players to police themselves for these type of things? Do you think that that's up to, you know what I'm saying, LeBron to say, you know what I'm saying, hey, y'all, you know, we doing this, you know what I'm saying, let's do it with class. We ain't trying to, you know what I'm saying, embarrass these guys. We just out here playing basketball. We trying to leave not a shadow of a doubt. You know, we competitors. We want to compete. We want to win. We talk after they talk after they get a dunk. How Horford was stepping after he dunked on, you know, Kevin Love. So, you know, it goes both ways. But do you think that there should be a respect factor, a limit? Not to say that even the Cavs went over that respect factor, because I don't think that they did. But do you think overall, in general, there should be a level of respect factor, or do you think it's no holds bar? Just, you know,
man,
if you can't stop me,
I'm from is no holds bar. If you want to stop me from doing whatever I'm doing, then stop me. Like, if your philosophy is you want to foul me, whatever you want to do, but stop me. I'm not going to take my foot off the gas to appease you and appease the commentators and say, oh, you guys got to have better sportsmanship or whatever the case may be. Until I'm doing something illegal, then stop me.
I agree. I really agree. I'm not going to lie, man. I want to be against this so bad for some, just for some reason, just because of the way they do it. Maybe it's just because it's the Cavs and I'm a hater. I ain't even going to lie.
Probably.
I'll be looking at, listen, I'll be
if
looking
it was
the Cavs
Lakers and Showtime, you wouldn't